All right, so as you know, Halloween is coming, and a lot of times people like to tell spooky stories and things like that during Halloween. What makes a story spooky?
Monsters.
Cookie Monster.
Possible, yeah. Some danger, usually stuff happening by itself. All right. That's enough. That's good. Thank you. If you had another one that you didn't say, just keep it in your mind. But close your mouth. Close your mouth and listen. We can do this the long way or the short way. The short way means you have to be quiet while we do it. The long way means I just stand here and wait for you.
I stand here and wait for an hour.
Well, we can do that. I was hoping we would have the harvest party, but we could stand here and look at each other for an hour if you want to. So sometimes in spooky stories you have doors opening and closing by themselves and unexplained things happening. And sometimes they're at night, and maybe sometimes there's like kind of creepy sort of dreams happening sometimes, or I don't know. Oh, yeah, okay. So we're going to read a story from Acts chapter 12, and this is kind of maybe not a spooky story, but kind of. There's some unusual things that happen in it that kind of almost seem like kind of almost a ghost story, almost, not quite. All right, so here it is. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Okay, so already we got some bad stuff going on. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. So this is a festival they had. And when they had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. All right, so Herod he's sort of the king there in Judea, and the Romans sort of let him be king. And he wants to do whatever the Jewish people think is good. And one of the things that the Jewish people wanted was to get rid of all this talk about Jesus, because they thought they got rid of Jesus, but then he rose from the dead, and people started talking about him even more than ever before. And so they were pretty flustered about what to do about it. So Herod came up with the idea, well, maybe we'll take some of the ringleaders, the people in charge of all this talk about Jesus, and we'll kill them. And so he did that. So he took James and had him executed. He's just he could just do it. No court or no trial, nothing. Just. And then he said, and all the Jewish people said, "Hey, all right, you're getting rid of those awful Christians. Excellent." And so he thought, "Well, I could get rid of some more of them." So he took Peter and arrested him, put him in jail. And it was a holiday, but after the holiday, he was going to take him out and execute him too. So meanwhile, Peter, here he is, sitting in the jail, waiting to die. This is not a good time for him. And the people at church were praying. It's not like they could go in there and bust in there and get him or something. I mean, there was all kinds of guards. There was lots and lots of extra soldiers guarding. Actually, there was lots of extra guards guarding this one prisoner. It was like a really high-profile prisoner. And they wanted to make sure nothing went on to make sure that this plan got carried out. But the people at church were praying that somehow, some way, God would maybe work something out here. Here's what happened. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door, like watchmen, were guarding the prison. So here he is sitting there, big old guard on one side, big old Roman guard on the other side, and he's chained to both of them. And they're all kind of asleep there, and then in the morning they're going to execute him. And there he is, middle of the night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone from the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. They just fell off. That's good. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. What's going on? Kind of disruptive, guys. So here he is. The angel is there, and he's like, "Oh, there's an angel, okay." And his chains fall off, and it's like he thinks it's a dream. He's like, "All right, I'll walk out. Oh, there's some more guards. Oh, the guards are all asleep, and I'm walking out. Okay, whatever." And he doesn't even know it's real. And when they passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading to the city. Well, they're never going to get past that, right? Well, it opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. So the door of the prison just opens right up, and all the other guards are just asleep, and they just walk right out of there. And then the angel takes off. And it says, when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel to rescue me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people, all that the Jewish people were expecting." What were the Jewish people expecting? Yeah, they thought they were expecting he was going to be killed. But instead, God had a different plan. And so here in the middle of the night, he just sort of walks out of this prison with the help of this angel. And then the angel leaves him. And he realizes, it's not a dream. I am really on the outside of this prison, and there aren't any guards around. I'm free. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. What do you think they were praying about?
God.
They were praying to God. What were they praying about?
About whatever his name is, not dying.
They're about Peter. That's right. They were praying that somehow Peter would maybe not be killed, or if he was killed, that he would be very brave while it happened, or that he would not denounce Jesus or something. And so here they were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, here he is knocking at the door, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. She was so excited to see Peter, she didn't even let him in. She's like, "Oh," and she runs off. Meanwhile, Peter's just standing there, the gate's still closed, and he's sort of awkwardly waiting there. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." This little servant girl, they didn't believe her. But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It is his angel." Now, this is kind of interesting that they would say, "It is his angel." Some people thought, well, maybe that means like they thought it was like his ghost, like he'd already been killed or something. But sometimes the Jewish people believed that a lot of people had a special angel that was supposed to take care of them, called a guardian angel, which is not exactly saying that's what it is or that's what happens or that's a real thing, but they sort of had this story that that was what happened. And they thought, well, maybe this angel is sort of impersonating Peter to kind of encourage them or something. Anyway, they thought, whatever it is, it can't really be Peter. But Peter continued knocking this whole time. He's still knocking on the door. They're just arguing about whether it really is him or not. When they opened, they saw him and were amazed. Motioning for them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." This is the other James. Then he departed and went to another place. All right, so they tell everybody else. They were praying for this very thing to happen. please, Lord, please get Peter out of prison. Oh, please, if you can do it, Lord. We know you can do it, please. And then here he is, meanwhile, knocking at the door. Hey, let me in. And they couldn't believe that it was him. I don't know if you ever prayed for something and it happened and you couldn't even believe it. That's happened to me maybe a couple of times. We're supposed to pray with some faith, actually believing that God's able to do what we're asking. And I think they were, but it's still very astounding. It's very unusual for somebody to just walk out of prison like this. But with God, all things are possible. There's one final part of the story. Now when the day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. Can you imagine the scene at the prison? What? Something's missing here. Oh, man, that Peter guy, that guy we were supposed to watch with all... He's gone. And they're looking all over the place, and they're looking under stuff, and he's not there. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Ooh, that's a sharp punishment. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent some time there. So God rescued Peter out of prison in the middle of the night with this angel and got by all those guards and everything. A great miracle happened. Right. Now, really, a lot of spooky stories are kind of like that, like at the end of a spooky kind of movie or something. Usually the whatever the evil thing is defeated and the good people survive and they're happy about it or whatever. And usually the bad people or the whatever the evil thing is, the monster or whatever, usually it's always defeated kind of right about at the end, like just as it's going to take over everything or just about to have something bad happen. And then they figure out some tiny little way to kill it or something. And then everybody's safe. You ever seen a movie kind of like that?
Yeah.
Don't watch too many of those movies because they're kind of scary. But well, did you know what? God loves those kind of movies. Now, not exactly those kind of movies, but he likes that story. He likes that story about, you know, evil maybe just almost going to think, you think evil's going to win, but turns out, nope, actually, it's all going to be turned over and good prevails. God loves that. He loves when good prevails. And that's really the whole story that God is telling throughout history. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came and... what, they crucified him. Oh, he was, the Romans did execute him. And they thought, oh man, the evil one, the forces of God, the good, all the, this good man, he was put to death. And the bad guys won, man. But then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And it turned out, actually, no, Satan didn't win. The bad guys didn't win. Oh, actually, Jesus is more powerful than everybody. And he's even more powerful than death. And so that's the story. The kingdom of God it's an upside down kind of a kingdom. A lot of kingdoms, you look around and you say, oh, well, they've got a lot of armies and they've got a lot of money and they've got a lot of power. And that's a good kingdom. But God's kingdom is like completely different. It's whoever's first will be last. Whoever's last will be first. To have power in God's kingdom, you have to be a servant. Instead, if you want to be the best one. Instead of slavery, you get to go free. And instead of death, you get to have life. And so everything in our world is sort of turned upside down and by this new kingdom that God is putting together. And he wants you to be a part of that kingdom. And if you'll believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, you can be a part of God's kingdom. And you can be forgiven. And you can have the part in what God's planning next. It still sort of looks like things are kind of bad sometimes, doesn't it? There's still all kinds of bad things happening. But one day, all of that's going to be fixed and turned the right way and made right when Jesus comes back. And if you're part of his kingdom, you'll be a part of that good stuff that happens as well. All right, let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you for the time we've had together and pray that you'd help us to think about these things and that good will prevail even when it doesn't look like it sometimes. But we know that Jesus is coming with his kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.